Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You can sit down. Great to be here. As I pulled up this morning, got out of my car, a greeter yelled from the front door, "Welcome home." And I thought, well, that's great, because there are a few churches in the country. I say a few. When I walk in, I can preach on anything, act any way I want to, and the pastor says, just have your way. I think that's what heaven's going to be like, don't you? So, again, it's good to be here. And, again, with Pastor Dave and Kim, and he mentioned 37 years ago, I think I was 10 and he was 8, okay, at the time. But anyway, it's been a great relationship all these years. And to see what God has done is just tremendous. So thank you again. How many of you were born, how many of you were raised in a denominational church? Okay. How many points were there to a sermon? 3 points. All sermons had 3 points. And you ask them, why? They say, well, we learned that in Bible school because that way with the 3 points, people won't forget the sermon. Let me ask you this. How do you remember any of those three-point sermons? Could I see your hand? You don't remember one of them, do you? It didn't work, did it? I often think they need to change their theology classes so get away from those three-point sermons. But I can tell you this. It doesn't take 3 points to remember something. It takes one revelation of the Holy Spirit, and you never forget it. Never forget it. So that's what I'm praying for this morning. You're going to walk away from here with a couple of revelations of the Holy Spirit that you'll never, ever forget, no matter how long you live on this earth. And those things. So on the table, I have one book that I'm teaching on today called Understanding the End Times, Where We Are in the Things of God. This is out on the table. This book's been out for years, and I've never had to change it because I don't tell you what day Jesus is coming back, so I don't have to change the book. So anyway, it's all Bible. It's all scripture, and on the coming of Jesus Christ for us, the church is coming up very soon. And I believe with all the things around us, don't get despaired. Look up, because our redemption is coming very, very soon. He's coming back. My newest book is called Theology Simplified. And the reason why I do this is because I teach a class at CBC. That's Andrew Womack's Bible School. And it's just called 8 Foundational Truths. And these foundational truths have big titles to them, but simple definitions, such as propitiation. There's a big word. What does it mean? Well, the Rolling Stones sang about it. I can't get no propitiation. So it means to be satisfied. And so, again, that's the word for it. So the good news is with all the Old Testament sacrifices, God was temporarily appeased. But when Jesus arose from the dead, he was eternally satisfied. And so that's what the word means. So I used to tell my congregation, I'll give you some big words today and lots of scripture. And the point of it is, if you can't go home tomorrow morning, women, and make a tuna fish sandwich for your children and don't remember the sermon, then I failed. You should continue thinking about that sermon throughout the week. So that's called Theology Simplified. There's 8 things on there. And again, you'll be tremendously blessed. In fact, how about an usher to just give these away? All right, right here. Just pray in the spirit as to who you should give it to, and then just give it. All right, glad to be here today and to bring to you the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 today. We are living in a day that's exciting. I know there's fear everywhere, and sadly, fear among Christians. This should be a day where we look up because Jesus is coming very, very soon. And we have such divided theology today. We have some that are saying, well, you know, I think America's going to come back. I'm not sure on that one. I don't know if America's going to come back, but Jesus is going to come back. I do know that. That's the major point. If it does, praise God. There's people saying, well, Trump's going to get back in office. I'll have a personal party and invite you there if he does. But in the meantime, angels don't rejoice in heaven over every president we get in our country. Sorry about that. Many of you think they do. But angels rejoice over one sinner that gets saved. Because I can tell you this, if President Trump gets back in Washington, that'll last about 4 years. It's not eternal. But every soul that gets saved is forever and forever and forever. I'm here to shift your thinking around this morning back to spiritual things and God's plan rather than what you see on TV or on YouTube or whatever. And so to bring you back to the Word of God today. I'm on TV now, and Pastor said he watches my broadcast. I don't know if he just did that to butter me up, but I don't think he's going to fry over that when he must be telling the truth. But anyway, it's called Student of the Word, and all of them are archived on YouTube. So if you go to there and put my name in, you'll find all the archives of my television broadcast and teachings on so many different subjects. And I'm also on some other national networks. And so, again, you can find that out. And again, by just going to YouTube, you'll find all those things out. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says this. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God, speaking to Timothy. Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. These are not dead people and living people. These are those that are saved and not saved. He's going to judge those that are born again and those that are not born again. Notice this two times, at his appearing and his kingdom. They are not the same thing. What we are looking forward to is his appearing. He's going to come in the heavens and appear for us, and we're going to rise to meet him. There's so many scriptures in Thessalonians about this, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's referred to there. We are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ for his church. If you're born again, you're part of his church, and he's coming for you. He's going to take us out before the times really get bad. There's a time period called the tribulation coming, but he's going to deliver us out of that because Thessalonians says we have not been appointed unto that time of wrath. But then 7 years after that, this tribulation period, the next thing that's going to happen is he's going to come in his kingdom, and he'll come back with us on that day. He's coming for us very, very soon. We'll be in heaven with him for 7 years. We'll be prepared into the bride. We're not the bride yet. We're his body. But we'll come back as his bride, and he will come back to this earth and usher in his eternal kingdom forever and forever and forever. Say, well, that sounds a little optimistic. Well, I read the Bible. It's very optimistic about being born again and what your future is in the days to come. You know, that term right there, what talks about that his appearing, it's also used again in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and just verses 14 and 15. You can just look these up later. I'm not going to read those today, but just simply says that we're to keep ourselves blameless until Christ's appearing. And so he's going to appear for us in the sky. He won't touch the earth. But we're going to rise to meet him in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we'll be with him forever after that time period as we are transformed into the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I like what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the verse I just referred to. At the closing of verse 15, it says this. We are to keep ourselves blameless until Christ returns or Christ's appearing. And then it goes on to say after that, which he will manifest in his own time. I want you to understand this. We cannot force the coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, to be honest with you, he doesn't know exactly when he's coming. He told us that in the Bible. He doesn't know. So if he doesn't know, who are you to try to think you can figure it out? In fact, it says there he's going to come back, but that is really not in our hands, that's in his hands. Two things that Jesus is called in Revelation, and some other things, but two major things, is he's called the Alpha and he's called the Omega. We're everything in between, okay? Alpha was him coming to this earth, being born of a virgin, living 33 years without any sin in his life, tempted in all points as we are, yet he never sinned. He was born outside of Adam's curse through the virgin birth, and then he lived on this earth and was tempted far beyond what will ever be tempted. And where Adam succumbed on the first temptation, Jesus passed all of them and never accepted it. Went to the cross for us, the righteous dying for the unrighteous. The Son of God dying for the fallen sons of men, and he died for us on the cross. So then he not only went to the cross, he rose after 3 days, walked on the earth for 40 days, ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the moment he sat down, Alpha had finished his job. That was it. And notice this, he's called Alpha, you're not. Because you couldn't have done that. We couldn't have done that. We couldn't be born of a virgin. We couldn't walk on this earth perfectly. It took someone, and it took someone far beyond us to do it. It took Jesus coming to do that. But the moment that he sat down, we took over. That's called the church. Now, we're doing on this earth what he did in this earth. He's seated in heaven grinning at us the whole time because we're down here using his name, using his power, laying hands on sick people, casting out devils, getting people saved, all the things that he did because the power he walked in has been given to us. But I can tell you this, when Jesus comes back, Omega's going to stand up. We can't handle what's going to come. What he began, he will complete. He who has begun a good work will complete it. He's Alpha, he's Omega, and there's going to come a day when he's going to tell us you've done all that you can. What's about to come is far beyond what you can handle, and Jesus Christ is going to come back from heaven. Hang on, can I say this in church? He's going to kick butt. Yeah. On the day he comes back, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Satan's rule will be over. God will kick the devil clean off this planet. All demons, all fallen angels, Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast will all be cast off this earth. All unbelievers will be cast off the earth. Religion will be taken off of the earth. And the curse that was placed here at the time of Adam will be gone. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Children can pick up poisonous snakes. It won't hurt them. And Jesus Christ will reign forever and forever and forever. That's what we've got coming. So why should you get all upset? The Bible says when these evil things even start to come to pass, look up. Your redemption is very, very close. And our redemption is very, very close. That's just good preaching, Bob. Thank you so much. Amen. Acts chapter 1, take a look at verse 4. Acts 1:4, we're going down through verse 8. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, that's in Matthew chapter 3, and baptized Jesus, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, are you going to make Israel great again? Verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, in his own hands, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice this. Are you going to restore the kingdom back? He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. In fact, I don't totally know them. They're in my Father's hands. He said, but I'm telling you what you can do. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and go preach the gospel to the entire world. Signs and wonders will follow you. I'm simply here to, let's get back to priorities. When is this going to happen? When's the nation's going to come back? When is our government going to be okay? When's all this stuff going to happen? I don't know, but I do know this. I've been sent into all the world to preach the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. That is my mission in these times. And we ought to be doubling down on the fact. Did you know today's an easy day to win people to Jesus? They're scared. I mean, people never been to church know something's got to be coming up. I mean, liberals and all those who haven't cared a thing about church, and I don't care about being liberal or conservative. They just want to know what's going on around me, and we have the answer. We don't care what your background is, what your religious background is, or whatever. His name is Jesus, period. And I'm here to tell you, you know, we've had some good presidents, but they all get voted in and out. But one day Jesus is going to come back, and there'll be no voting every 4 years. He'll just be on the throne forever and forever and forever. Today should be a simple day to just open up a conversation about Jesus, and people want to know what the answer is today. Because fear is not only striking Christians, it's really hit the world. Because Christians ought to know what's coming. Christians can read the book and understand it, but the world cannot. So it comes back to this. What is the primary reason for being filled with the Holy Spirit? Jesus pointed it out here. He said, you'll receive the Holy Spirit just a few days from now. And they went to the upper room. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Notice that phrase, began, because it's a lifetime thing of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. What's it for? What is the primary use of praying in the Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit? You talk to most Christians, they say, well, it's so we can prophesy to each other, lay hands on each other, come to church and hear God speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Those are all fine, but those are third, fourth, fifth down the line. Number one is he was given to you to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Power to witness. You might as well write this down. Witnessing is supernatural. I'm going to say that again. Witnessing is supernatural, yet we try to make it natural. Books on how to witness. 4 points on how to witness. Here, this little pamphlet will help you. Well, it might help me, but you know what? The Holy Spirit sure outshines 4 spiritual laws. It sure outshines any program you can go through. I'm here to tell you, I don't have to memorize a book or memorize chapters of anything. I walk out in the morning and I pray in tongues for a while and go out there going, Holy Spirit, this is all up to you. You promised me power to witness. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, is coming back to the fact that the Holy Spirit's main purpose given to you was to help win souls. It's the number one job God gave to us, and he gave us his big, massive amount of power so that we can operate and see people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus never witnessed to anybody till he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And when he came back up out of the water, he began to spread the news everywhere, accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles. And said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works. And we often think, well, they're to come to church and see each other get healed. No, the greatest use of the gifts of the Spirit is out there where the sinners are, so they can see that Satan's not the only supernatural being. Jesus Christ is also a supernatural being. Satan operates in lying signs and wonders, but I've been given true signs and wonders. And what's the purpose for, again? It is to bring people into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is interesting. Just write these verses down, too, and look them up later. John 16, verses 7 through 9 tell us that the Holy Spirit not only empowers us, the Holy Spirit also convicts the sinner. The person we're talking to. Why is that important? Because we think somehow we've got to convince them, make them, and if our words just aren't right, they're not going to see it. It's up to us to simply present the gospel. The Holy Spirit does all the work on the other end, just like he did all the work on our end. He works on the giving end and the receiving end. Just be obedient to give them the gospel. Thank you. First of all, how did Jesus win the lost? Well, he won, first of all, the lost by his preaching. John chapter 8 and verse 30 says this, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So there was his preaching. And we ought to be able to just tell people about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. Explain the fact that he came to do what you can't do. You can't get yourself to heaven. You can't do enough good works to get to heaven. Listen, if you can do enough works to go to heaven, why did Jesus have to come? He did it because there's no one that can go to heaven by themselves. So Jesus came. That's our message to them. Number two, Jesus healed the sick and did miracles to win sinners. The ultimate purpose of signs and wonders is not to get you healed. I'm going to say that again. The ultimate purpose of signs and wonders is not to get you healed. Because if you do get healed, it's only till you die, then it's over. But if my healing can cause me to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, God did a temporary miracle in my life to get an eternal miracle into my life, receiving Jesus Christ. But he does these things to grab the attention of the world with signs and wonders. And Jesus did signs and wonders everywhere he went. John 11, 45, at the time when he raised Lazarus from the dead, it said many believed in him. So because he raised him from the dead, I can tell you this, Lazarus died a few years later. But while he was raised from the dead, a whole lot of people gave their lives to Jesus. God will give you the supernatural so you can win people to Jesus. Be quick to lay hands on sick people. I was in Walmart one day, and a lady behind the counter was checking me out. They always look so happy, but she looks like something was really wrong with her. I said, is there something wrong? She said, yes, my daughter's dying. She's in the hospital right now. Said, I don't know what to do, but I had to come to work. And she said, I'd rather be up there with him. She was just tears running down her face. I said, give me your hand. I believe in divine healing. And I prayed for that little girl in the name of Jesus Christ and commanded her to be healed. I never saw that woman again, but I plan on seeing her in heaven one day. And said, my daughter got healed. By the time I got home, she was healed in the same time that you prayed here at the Walmart. Look for opportunities. They're everywhere around you. And understand there's needs all around you, but we sometimes fear, what are they going to think? Oh, they're going to think it's wonderful. That's what they're going to think. Next of all, Jesus, well, he healed by signs and wonders, John 7:31. It said, many people believed in him, saying, when the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than this one has done? So they believed in him because he was performing signs and wonders. But Jesus also healed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially word of knowledge. Jesus led people to the Lord by the gifts of the Spirit. Look up here at me for just a moment. The new birth introduces us to the fruit of the Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit introduces us to the gifts of the Spirit. One is a doorway into the other. And the moment you're filled with the Holy Spirit, hang on, because the gifts of the Spirit are out there available for you. It's a doorway into them. And so, again, Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit. But we often think the gifts of the Spirit are to be used in church. And they are, but that's not their primary use. The world is where they need to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Satan does it out in the world. Why can't we do it out in the world? That's where we're supposed to take the gifts. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, not into all the churches. It's fine to preach the gospel in church, but listen, we don't get them born again here like you can out there where they live. Just walk out there in the midst of them, start declaring the power of Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. That's what the disciples did. And so again, Jesus won them by the word of knowledge, especially. John chapter 1 and verse 50. Jesus was talking to Nathanael, and he said, Nathanael, I saw you sitting under a tree. That's word of knowledge. And you know what Nathanael said? He said, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. You know what? One word of knowledge caused him to understand you must be operating in the supernatural. And we need to have words of knowledge. Later on, it says in John 4:39, and this was when Jesus went to lead the woman at the well to the Lord. As he was speaking to her and led her to the Lord, he said, go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. She said, wow, you must be a prophet. And accepted the Lord, ran back into town and brought all of the men of the city out to meet Jesus. Because what? She said, listen, he told me everything I've ever done. A word of knowledge. And we often get words of knowledge, but we don't think, well, what should I give it or not? Just launch out there and give it. What you have in your heart toward that person, because they're going to go, oh, you must be a prophet. You must be. And so, again, I love that phrase. She said, come and meet a man that told me everything I've ever done. And I'm sure those men went, everything? Yep, come meet him. So they all came out there to meet Jesus. You know what? The whole city started with revival because of a word of knowledge. How important it is for us to open ourselves up. We think it's only to be used in church, and it is to be used in church, but that's the place it's supposed to be used. Not for Christians to be blessed by each other, but for a world out there that doesn't know Jesus to understand we serve a supernatural Savior. And God gave this important gift of power to us to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how did the disciples win the lost? Peter preached just like Jesus on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because you know what? His sermon on that day didn't sound like any sermon he preached up until that point. It was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they all picked it up. Then there was the healing later on, the next chapter, the man at the gate, beautiful. And the Bible says at the end of that, that one miracle brought 5,000 more into the kingdom of God in the end of Acts chapter 4. Then Peter raised Dorcas from the dead in chapter 9, and it says, and this was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Oh, listen, he raised her from the dead, but she died later on. A temporary miracle brought eternal miracles into those that saw it and heard of it and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. They were also won by the gifts of the Spirit. Visions and discerning of spirits were used through the book of Acts. Peter had a housetop vision. Cornelius also had a housetop vision. They came together in a whole house full of Gentiles. Romans received Jesus as Savior because of that. Later on, we have others that happened to. Paul was on a ship, and saw an angel. Nobody else saw it. He was discerning a spirit. Saw an angel standing there who told him the ship will be destroyed. All the cargo on here will be destroyed, but not one life will be gone. It'll all be spared. And that happened. And that actually broke out into a revival on that island where the governor and his father were healed on that island. And a whole bunch of people got healed and a whole lot of people got saved because of a miracle that happened in Paul's life, the open to the Holy Spirit. I sat on a plane one day. I used to like to travel on planes. But anyway, I travel on planes a lot. But I was, you know, I travel so often, so I get premier seating, so they put me on first. And so I sat in my seat and was waiting, and a young man came down the aisle and sat next to me. And the moment he came in front of me to sit next to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "He's ready to receive me." I said, "Really? Wow." So the young man sat down. I started the conversation. "What do you do?" "Well, I'm a student at a Bible school. I mean, at a college." And he said, you know, name some things. He says, "What do you do?" I said, "I pastor a church." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yes." "What kind of church is it?" I said, "We believe in the Bible, believe in Jesus." And I said, "You're ready to receive Jesus, aren't you?" He said, "Yes. I've had some other people talk to me, and I always told them no. And the other day I thought, you know what, I need to do that, but I don't remember how." And he said, I just asked God, because I don't know how to pray. I just asked God, "Can you have somebody show me?" And I sat down right next to you on this airplane. And God told me it was ready for him to receive. So by the time the plane was taxiing off of the tarmac there and toward the runway, he was a sinner. By the time we took off, he was born again, a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. And I told him, I said, "When I sat down here, the Lord told me you were ready to receive." He goes, "Well, I was." So there we have again a simple operation of a word of knowledge. And thank God we can use it in church, but that's where it needs to be used out there, where they can say, "Wow, he must be the Son of God. Jesus must be the Son of God." And so how do we win sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ? Look with me at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And look at verse 3 and 4. Here's what our prayers should be used for. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, praying also for us that God would open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Notice verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let me tell you what that says, that I may make it clear and simple as is my duty. We need to pray that we'll keep the gospel simple because the world can't understand. We often want to get into the eschatological ramifications of the tribulation, and they look at us like, "What planet did you land on?" You know, no, they want to hear the simplicity of Jesus Christ. You know how simple it is? Put your faith and trust in him as your Lord, and you will be saved. That's it. That's the simplicity of it. He said, "Pray for me," because if anybody would have a hard time keeping it simple, it was the Apostle Paul. He said, "Pray for me so I can just keep it simple." All the things you're learning in church, they may be fine for you, but the world doesn't understand them. They need to understand Jesus Christ, him crucified and dying for them to make himself Savior and Lord in their life. That's the simplicity of it. All right? Look down with me at the next two verses, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Walk in wisdom." So we need to look for the Holy Spirit's wisdom. "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside." That's unbelievers. That's sinners. "Redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt." That's the word of God. Keep your speech filled with the grace of God and sprinkle a scripture in now and then that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Notice this. This verse says, quit trying to figure out what you're going to say. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to say when you go out, so you'll know how you ought to answer every person. There's a lady at our church. She's since gone to be with the Lord. In fact, they named a section of highway after her in Tulsa. She was a state senator. My wife and I knew her from the time that we met at an Assembly of God church. And I knew her through the years. She attended our church and became a senator in Oklahoma City and called me one day and said, "We're having a protest Monday. And some people are coming to protest capital punishment. Would you come and tell the biblical view of capital punishment?" And I said, "Okay." And I said, "How many people are coming to protest?" She said, "There's just a few." She lied big time. That building was packed with protesters. waving their signs and screaming all over the place about capital punishment. And so they introduced me, and I got up to speak, and I hardly got a word out of my mouth, and some man stood up in the back and screamed at me, "How dare you serve a God that murdered his son on the cross?" And I thought, I've never heard that before. And I suddenly, I didn't know what to do. I said, "Well, Holy Spirit, it didn't take you by surprise, but that one certainly took me by surprise. I need a little help." And he just dropped it in me. Just the moment I said that, it dropped in me. I said, "Sir, Jesus said, I pick up my life when I want to. I lay it down when I want to. No man takes my life from me." I said, "On the cross, he said, 'Father, into your hands I dismiss my spirit,' and he gave up the ghost." I said, "Sir, God the Father didn't kill his son. Jesus died of his own free will. And when he decided to die of his own free will, God took the sins of the entire world, including your sins and everyone's sins in here, and laid it on Jesus, and he died and removed them to where all you have to do today is receive Jesus as your Savior." I said, "Every head bowed and every eye closed." Everybody bowed their head. I led the entire place in a salvation prayer. You could have heard a pin drop after that prayer. I gave my talk and all that stuff, and I plan on getting to heaven and find a whole lot of people and say, "I was there in that room that day. I gave Jesus my life and gave it to him." God turned a cursing into a blessing, a thing I didn't know what to do, and he dropped it in me. I just suddenly had a knowledge inside of me of what to do and what scriptures to stand on. I'm simply coming back today. I want you to walk out of here today with a whole different attitude toward what's going on in the world and realize something. While the world's looking for the answer, I am the answer. But I'm not an answer by myself. The Holy Spirit's been given to me and given me the new birth, plus the Holy Spirit's also been sent to empower me to witness to the world around me. I can't possibly lose. With some I'm going to plant, with others I'm going to water, but God's going to give the increase. And I may lead somebody to Jesus that's heard it before, but I'm simply going to play my part by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, when I walk out of this building today, my anticipation is going to be, you're going to open doors for me. You're going to bring people across my path. If I start to talk to somebody, the gifts of the Spirit are going to start working in me, because you have given all of your power from heaven for one purpose: to see people born again. That's it. And before I ever step foot outside my door today, I'm going to pray in the Spirit and expecting God to open up doors and give the supernatural into my life. Father, I pray for everyone here now that there's a whole new attitude when we walk out today. I have the answer, but I also have the power. It's not up to me. There's days I don't know if I'm coming or going, but the Holy Spirit can show me what to do. Father, I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit walking out of here today, and every day is going to be different. I'm not going to be so concerned about what's happening around the world and in my own country. I'm worried about one thing. Lord, I'm concerned about one thing. Some person needs to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Lord, every day you wait one more day is another opportunity for me to lead one more person to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, I thank you for that today. We're going to have some people come to pray with you at the end here. Some workers, some prayer people. Those that are members of the church here, I'm going to ask you to do one of two things. Number one, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, it's the simplest thing you'll ever. The Bible says it's so simple, a fool couldn't err in it. It doesn't take a PhD to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It just takes an open heart. And Jesus came to die for everybody. No matter who you come across, I want you to understand that. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, when you come down here, they're going to lead you in a simple prayer of salvation. And also, if you're here today and you have received Jesus, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't speak with tongues. Listen, The reason why you don't see a lot of it in a church service, it's not supposed to be in the church service that much. The Bible says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, but in the church. There's times for it in the church, but the main place it belongs is in your daily, 99% of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues should be your private life to say, Lord, open up supernatural doors for me today, bring people across my path, give me words to say, and He will do it. He will do it. So if you'd like to come at the end of the service and receive the Holy Spirit, do so. It's going to change your life. You think the new birth changed your life? Oh, it did eternally. But I can tell you here in time, nothing will change you more than being filled with the Holy Spirit and using His presence and power each day in your life. Praise God. Pastor Dave, I'm going to turn it to you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.